I grew up thinking I was going to be a scientist when I grew up. Everything I studied in college and graduate school was sort of with that aim to be a scientist. And I'm quite grounded in the real world, in empirical fact. But my heart always wanted to be a novelist. I always loved reading stories and reading great novels more than anything. So I guess I have both the poet and the scientist residing in me, and they sort of take turns, and they work pretty well in concert, I would say. They get along.
The latest novel, Flight Behavior, seems to be a good example of the fiction and nonfiction worlds getting along, as you say. It focuses on the topic of climate change. Tell us about the premise of that story and why the focus on climate change.
The fact is, when you start reading this novel, you're not going to know that, maybe until you've finished it, because it's a novel about characters. It's set on a sheep farm in southern Appalachia. The characters are farmers and working people who are struggling in the day-to-day. The main character, the protagonist, is a young woman who's just kind of had it with how hemmed in she is by her life, the limited choices she has. And what happens early in the novel is that she, while she's on a mission to do something she shouldn't do, she unexpectedly comes across an amazing sight. It looks like a forest in flames up the hollow behind where she lives. And she turns around and she kind of turns tail and tries to come and get her life in order. But she doesn't know what she's seen. It seems to her to be a miracle. And most of the people in the town and the church community and so forth also see it as a miracle. They don't understand it. Well, they do understand it in those terms, but it gets out to the media and it gets outsiders coming in. And the scientists identify it as a freak natural event that is probably caused by the changing climate. So really what the novel entails is the conflicts between the rural people and the urban outsiders, the believers in science and the communities of faith. I'm very interested in the difficulty we have in this country in having these conversations between people with, I would just call them, different teams of conviction, you know, people who share belief sets that are very, very entrenched and that are different from people on the other side, whether we're talking about a political divide or a class divide or an urban versus rural divide. It seems we're having a lot of trouble talking across these divides, and that's really what this novel is about.
As readers read about the phenomenon that is used as an example of global climate change in this book, and as they read about the scientific process and the efforts that the scientists go through, are they reading information that is based in reality? Can we rely on the information that we're going to read between the lines?
You absolutely can rely on the information, both between the lines and on the lines. I'm really, really careful about my facts as a writer. I'm both a scientist and a poet. Both of those souls reside in me, and I was trained for many years as an undergraduate and graduate student to be a scientist. I've worked in laboratories, field labs. I've been a field scientist. I'm very familiar with the methods that are described in this book, and of course, to research the novel, I spent more time with these specific kinds of scientists, seeing their equipment, and so that I could describe it perfectly. I really work hard at getting my facts exactly right and making them interesting, even entertaining, compelling, and I work just that hard, even harder, really, every day to spin webs of sentences to make a kind of lace of verbs and adjectives and sentences and paragraphs that will turn into a magic carpet that will carry you into another world. That's what I love about my job. I get to do both of those things, be truthful and be fantastical.
Barbara King-Solver, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome. This was really fun.